Ooh. You ready to do a podcast with me? I'm gonna have your baby chibuka.
Aww.
She's ready to do a podcast. Daddy duties. This is a reason why you guys gave me the award. Go on. people need content, so we have to give content. And we got a content. I'm Bonnie Chibuka. On my podcast, The Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Ozoi Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon. Every time I get an opportunity to talk to people from Uganda, that's the only time I get to speak some Luganda. So I just want to feel comfortable. But let me just throw some words in there. But how have you been?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. You stood me up on the other day. When? Saturday?
I did. I had such a crazy day that day, man.
No, you're good. You're good. I understood. And I understand. I'm somebody who is understanding. Sometimes we make plans and they don't go our way. Like today, actually, I'm going to warn you, I'm on daddy duties. So my daughter, my daughter is sleeping. So she's sleeping, and if she wakes up, I might have to bring her here to feed her. Maybe even our listeners, but just for an opportunity, baby one. So I just wanted to warn you, like, just in case she wakes up, I'll have to go pick her up. But yeah, welcome to my podcast. I've always wanted to have you on the podcast ever since I discovered you. Usually my guests, when they come on the podcast, it's somebody else who recommends them to come on the podcast, because I have that question at the end of the podcast, which I'm going to ask you too at the end. But so one time I recorded an episode with another lady, Imelda. Yeah, it was Imelda. So I recorded with Imelda, and usually I like to make some episode like a special guest. I don't tell my audience who I'm going to host. So I put up a post like, who do you think it's going to be? She usually does Christian content. So a lot of people were posting names. And somebody said, oh, is it Alinda? I was like, she's not Alinda, but I'll reach out to her. And then somebody was like, yeah, you should host her. If it's not her, you should host her. So then I reached out in your DMs to ask you if you'd love to be on my podcast. And that's how you ended up here.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting. I don't even think in my wildest dreams I'd be hosted in a podcast.
Well, everybody says that, but I love it. I love talking to people. And when I started following you, I saw the work you do, which is amazing. And I'd like to thank you for doing great content work. Uganda is not talent, Ivanang. You have a lot of talent in Uganda, creative people.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm really, really glad that the kind of that work that we're doing is taking root and there are very many people coming up. It's amazing to see everything that everyone is doing.
Yeah, definitely. So how is life doing? How is your life?
Life is going fine, as good as it can get. Because today's a public holiday, so
I know.
If you are in Uganda, living our best lives. It's a Monday, we are home, we're chilling. The weather is public holiday weather. It's been raining. Props to God for that.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I wanted to say congratulations, actually. It's the first thing I wanted to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And when people congratulate me, I just send it back, because for me, I mean, I do work. I do some work, the editing part of it. But I feel like my podcast is based on my guests and my listeners. And that's why when people congratulate me, I just send it back, because I love my guests. And when my guests fix time to come on here, it's priceless for me because that's how I build my content. So when they congratulate me, I forward those congratulations back to my guests and my listeners and people who voted. I know you voted. I don't, you know, your friends don't, you don't want your friends to know. But everybody who voted, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And the love I received, it keeps me going. It keeps me going. This is something I love to do. It's therapy for me. And I love listening to stories. So I was happy to win that award the second time. It's amazing. It pays back. You know, when you start something, when I started the podcast, I didn't know how far it's going to go. I didn't know what. I started in my bedroom. I didn't have a microphone. I was on my phone. So I didn't have a big picture. Somebody actually asked me, what do you plan to do with your podcast in like 5 years? I was like, I don't know. I'm just talking. I'm just sharing stories. But to see the growth, yeah.
See how it goes.
See how it goes. And then next, you know, you're getting people, hosting people, winning awards, so all that. I hosted you here, and before I hosted you, I put out a poll of questions that people sent you. You're the second person on this podcast that received the most questions. Like, one or the other person was picture that William takes. That guy got a lot of questions. But I like your audience, because most of these questions come from people who know you, your audience, and they were all over the place. So I had to sit down and categorize this
terrified in the same form.
So I categorize these questions in different topics, subtopics. So we're gonna go through that. But before we go into these questions, I wanted to ask you, how did you get into like the lifestyle content creating? How, what made you want to do that?
Okay. Interesting enough, just as you said, for yourself, I didn't start out thinking, oh, let me do influencing, it's like a cool thing, or let me do digital creation. It was just something that made me happy. After we'd gone to LDC, which is the equivalent of the Bacos anywhere else, people that are in Uganda know how strict and how the environment at LDC can get very, very unnerving. So my kind of resting place was the internet. So I got my phone the first time, recorded something, and then a friend of mine is like, you guys should do something on friendship. You guys should talk about friendship. So I got a friend of mine and we did something on friendship. We did, I think the first one was just a recording, wasn't even a live. So we did a recording on friendship and like what our different takes on friendship are. And then posted, and people seemed to like it. And I'm like we're sharing very obvious things. Like, why are people very interested? And it like dawned on me that what you think is very obvious is probably what someone just wants to listen to over and over.
Exactly.
Again. So we did that the first time, and did it a second time, and yeah, this is where we are now.
One of the funniest thing, and so I've hosted Fiona Kemi, I think you know her. She's one of the unpopular opinion. Yeah. I've hosted her on the podcast, all the three ladies. But what is unique is Fiona studied law and she went into content creating. And I've hosted Priscilla El Tamale. She studied law and she's doing content creating. Here you are, you studied law and you're doing content creating. Like, what is that that has to do with content creating and doing law? Like, what is that that connects you people into content creating, like lawyers?
I think because the law is very monotonous, it gets very, it's the same. If you come to me and you're asking me to draft you an employment contract, it's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to me and you want me to do a bail application, it's the same old thing. The same things we've been doing since first year at law school,
yeah,
all through the back course. It's very monotonous. So content creation or the kind of work that we do now is a way for us to express ourselves. Mostly because a lot of people that become lawyers were very creative people when they were starting out. Usually people that were lawyers went to, let's say, arts class, and people who are in the arts class are usually very creative, what those things. So the law puts you like in a box where all you do is give advice, draft things. So I find that this content creation space is an opportunity for us to express ourselves, to express the creativity that we have, to do the different things that we want to do with our lives.
Yeah. The other thing too, you have something you do on your Instagram, like a business pitching of the day, like you do that where you promote other people's businesses and stuff, and you have a big audience. And is that something you thought about, like, oh, I could do this, promote other people's businesses, or how did that come up?
So interestingly, the very first time I did post a business on my stories was not, it wasn't meant for like, oh guys, like this is pitch day. A friend of mine had a business and she's like, could you help post, I'm doing a sale, so help me post on your stories. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, why not? So I post, and she told me that during that week when she was doing the sale, she got very many people hit her up, buy her products. So I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know that my page could do this. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that people are paying this much attention. I'm like, if I could do it for her, why don't I do it for other businesses as well? So I put up the first poster. I'm like, hey guys, so we shall be doing pitch day where you basically talk about your business. And I think for me, the beauty about it is that I give you the opportunity to sell your business the best way you know how. So if you want to share pictures, share pictures. If you want to share a video, share a video. But do what you can to make sure that the world, or at least my audience, can see your business. Mm-hmm. And it's been going so well. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from the businesses that I share. And it's amazing that something that was never in my mind is doing very well, helping a lot of people.
That is crazy. Yeah, sometimes the things we never think about are the things that go well in our lives. I recorded an episode, actually it's coming out today, but I would say it came out because I recorded with Oliver Nakakande, who was a Miss Uganda, and she was asking me about becoming an American citizen because it wasn't a dream. I wasn't sitting there, I'm like, I want to become an American. I mean, I wanted to come to America. I wanted to visit America. We saw these things in the movies and I always wanted it. But like when I came to America, it's not something I was like, nah, I'm good. I want to be Ugandan. But then it happened. And then I'm like, oh, that's cool, actually. So now it brings peace. And there's something that adds to your life. Like even if you didn't plan on it, but like in the same way, like it's not something you thought about, but then you do it and then it turns out to be great. So some things just work together for our good, just like what the Bible says. I just had to put that in there. But anyway, you had your friend's wedding 2 weeks ago. No, 1 week. She celebrated 1 week. How was the wedding? I saw the pictures. I was following. And I think I follow her too, because the funny thing is, like, when I posted that one special episode, I wanted to ask people, they mentioned you and her. And they were two different people. So then I followed you guys the same day. And then I realized you guys are friends. And so how was the wedding? And can you talk about your friendship with her?
The wedding was very funny. It was, I think, the first wedding that I've been that actively involved in, of like you're running around Kampala like a headless chicken. That's how serious it was. But it was a very amazing wedding. I think what made it most amazing is because the guest list was comprised of mostly friends. You know how usually in African families, mm-hmm. your parents are the ones calling the shots. So it's like 90% parents, friends and relatives and whatnot, and then 10% your friends. But I think it was really fun because there was a bunch of friends, people we've known growing up. Mm-hmm. So it was just like one fun party.
Yeah. So now we're going to dig into the questions, because I wanted to start introduce the wedding. And now I'm going to ask you the questions that people asked you from the wedding. And one of the person asked, like, actually, this question was asked before the wedding. They said, your friend is getting married this weekend, which is past, but do you have the pressure to settle now that your friend is getting married? Like, do you feel like you're on pressure to be next?
No, actually, I don't. And I think a lot of people have asked me that, because a lot of friends in my very close circle as well are getting married. But I don't feel the pressure to settle. Why? Because I'm one of those people that are very, what do I call it? I can't even say career oriented, but principled. I have like a checklist of things.
Yeah.
I have a checklist of things I want to do before I get married. And having my master's degree is one of those things, which I am in the process of doing now. So when I finish that, then we can start thinking of getting hooked. But right now, it's just vibes showing up for our friends' parties, loving it. Yeah.
Vibes on vibes. Yeah, I like that. I mean, sometimes it works for people to have principles. Sometimes it's like, let me just go and be like, "Nansange you," but it's always good to know. You know, like, let me just get married, masters in Atsage, you know. So the other person was saying, "I'm also praying for your friend's function this weekend. I may God bless it." So somebody was praying for it. I know the wedding is already passed, but the prayers were answered according to you. The wedding went well. Everything went well. Okay. That's good. The other question was from another person who said, "Did All Saints Cathedral allow you to be the maid of honor for your bestie?" They usually don't allow people who are not married.
Yeah, so interesting fact. All Saints allows only married people and people who are married in the Anglican Church to be your matron or best man. So my mom was my best friend's maid of honor in church and as her matron through the rest of the day. So for the church event, it was my mother who was her matron and then as her maid.
That's a good idea. So that's a good idea. I didn't know that. I read that. I was like, that's crazy. I've never heard of something like that.
Yeah. So apparently I think the mind behind it is that because you're getting into marriage, you can't be advised by someone who is not married.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So they need someone who is married and who has the same values as the ones you're getting from this church and whatnot. Yeah.
The question was, the wedding questions, but like, you gave a speech at the reception, didn't you? I like that. It's something, you know, I hated Ugandan weddings. I'll tell you why. And I think I'm talking about this from old fashioned, see this fashion. I hated the old fashioned weddings because on those weddings, the grandfather has to give a speech. The father has to give a speech. Uncle Wako Jasimanyani, who... Everybody gives a speech and you spend and then the wedding ends to be like 5 hours. But like when I came to America, I like when the matrons, the maid of honors, they come and tell a speech about their friends and how they grew up and how they met their husband, like their friend's husband or their current. So I like that. Was that something like that you guys did? You talk about your friendship and how you met. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
I made sure that we had a bit of that in the speech. And just like you, I think the bit for speeches is the part I don't like the most about weddings.
Yeah.
Because people go on, and they're not even talking about the couple. So it's a bit strange.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I hated about weddings in Uganda. We talked about your friendship, but we have some questions from friendship that somebody asked. Like, how do you manage your time, let's say, for work, friends, your partner, and family, among others? So I think somebody is just asking how you balance your time for what you do online and then your friends and family, because I think they see you're always busy, you're always on the move. How do you balance? How are you able to do all that stuff?
Okay, so I think my direct answer would be, I don't think there's ever a balance. I think you just find a way to make everything fit into each other. Because when you say balance, it makes it seem like there's this aspect, this aspect, this aspect, and they're all separate. For me, every aspect of my life is intertwined. So for example, if it's time for me to do content, and let's say I've not spent time with my friends or family in a while, I'll involve them in the content creating. So we'll probably do like a story and then they'll be involved in it, and that's us spending quality time together. So for me, instead of trying to find a balance of, okay, like from this time to this time I'm working, then from this time to this time I'm with my family, I just try to make sure that there's just harmony in everything that I'm doing. But also, I've been blessed with very understanding friends and family who know that having a 9-to-5 can be difficult. On top of that, you are already doing content creation and all these other things that I'm doing. So they try not to breathe down on my neck so much if I am not as available as I should be. But I make the effort to check in, to have friendship dates. I love friendship dates. And to have dates with my partner as well. So, yeah.
That is good to have. The big point I picked out of that is understanding friends. You know, we have friends sometimes and they don't understand. They think you're avoiding them or they think, but they will never understand. Oh, she's busy right now. Just understanding is a big part of life. No matter friendship, marriage, anything, understanding is huge. When you can just think, I'm like, yeah, I understand that. It's really good when people understand. Oh, somebody just said, I just want to be your friend. Do you have any business? I didn't quite understand that. The first part I understood, I want to be your friend. The second part, do you have any business? That one I didn't understand.
Neither do I. But yeah, you cannot hit me up in my DM if you want to be my friend.
Yeah. So somebody asked a question about the relationship and say, how can I deal with a partner who is not of the same religion as mine, Banang?
Okay.
Yep, there's your question.
A very interesting question. So I'll look at it this way. When you and your partner, and by partner, I'm assuming they mean like relationship-wise?
Yeah, like boyfriend or fiancé.
Or fiancé. If you are a different religion, first things first, there's going to be a lot of tension in terms of you're going to have to ask questions on if we want to go to church, which church do we go to? Or if, let's say if he's Muslim, do you go to the mosque, then I go to church? If we have kids, where do they belong? And I think it's possible for you to have a relationship with someone who is not same religion.
You think it's possible?
I'm saying it's possible because I've seen people do it,
yeah.
But it's very difficult.
It's hard.
Very
difficult. It is hard. And I would say that, especially if
one person has to give up their religion eventually.
Yeah.
So that there's some kind of harmony. Because, you know, when you talk about the Bible says that two cannot walk together unless they agree. What that means is that they need to be agreed in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are praying to God A and I'm praying to this other one, there's no agreement, so there's definitely going to be difficulty in walking together. So from my perspective, if you can avoid it, just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I would say too. Like if you can't avoid it, or if you can't I think if the person is committed to the other person, find out the pros and cons of that. Find people who are doing that at the moment. Ask them questions. Yeah. How is it going for them? But if you've not committed to something, I would say don't do it. Because even if, like, I will give an example. If you marry somebody who is not even going to church or who doesn't believe in God, there is that sense of understanding that Christians do have of relating themselves with Christ, like through life situations, you put yourself in Jesus. Like, what would Jesus be happy if I do something like this? Now, if a person is not a Christian, does not have God in their heart, without even somebody would just slap you, would just do anything without even cringing, like, oh, what did I do? But if somebody is truly believing in God, will never do that. Because on the back of his head, he was like, is this something Christ-like? Is this something Jesus will be happy with? So that's what I would say for me. And that's my input for that.
I agree completely. And also because people who have the same religion usually have the same lines of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So usually if you are, let's say, both Christian, you both have, let's say, a Christian couple in church that you work with. So in case there are issues between you two, you can always have someone take it to someone to guide you, which is not the case for people who are, everyone is going where they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. And good, thank God, my question came back. It wasn't a question, it was something I was going to comment about. I'm going to switch you back to, we talked about content a little bit. You posted your brother's service thing at the school. I was laughing. I laughed. I know my reaction in your DM was not expressing what I was like. I was like, I'm gonna wait to talk about it on the podcast. That was crazy, like, to see. And you compared it to our generation. Like, I think we might have gone to high school the same time, but the kids doing TikTok. How was the TikTok dances?
I was so shocked. Like, you should have seen my face.
Yeah,
you should have seen. And the funny thing is that I was smack between two very old women, mothers to some kids there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teacher gets onto the microphone and says, let's welcome the students, they have presentations. So I think in these parents' minds, they're thinking Bambi, they're going to sing for us some songs. What friends, they start off with TikTok dances. What they started with food, it was, I'm like, guys, when did the generations change? Because I remember for us, immediately they said time for presentation, you're on your knees singing some Luganda song.
There was this song we used to sing. Tutu na tuze, tuzabana waimba. Ghana ye welu toswa, ingira mamo jondawe.
You guys, I just can't.
Yeah.
Because when I saw them dancing, I was like, okay, yeah, now I'm starting to feel old.
No, I saw that. But I loved them. Yeah, I did.
Seeing them doing what they love, it's amazing.
I loved it. I love to see the guys in the back because my head was just spinning. If I was me, would I be doing that? Like, I was just asking myself the same question. Would I be back there? Because I was so shy. I'm like, I can never do that. But the guys were serious. They were dancing. And there was that one girl who was leading all the songs. It was so beautiful. I was laughing. And then I kept saying, Twagala content. I wanted more of that. I was like, I'm glad I remember that because that was funny. I wanted to talk about it. So you run a public speaking masterclass. Do you run it? You posted about it on social media. Obviously, you're a lawyer, so public speaking comes naturally for you guys. You just stand in the court and just talk. Talk about the public speaking masterclass because there's a lot of people I've had on the podcast who say, hey, Bananga, I'm shy. I can't talk. You ask them to be on the podcast. I can't talk in public. But I wasn't like that. I was always like the person in debate. And I wanted to be a lawyer, actually. I think I shared my story on here how I wanted to be a lawyer. So now... But I still did my other dream I wanted to be a lawyer when I was like 7. And then around 8, I changed my career dream. But the career dream I wanted when I was 8 is something I do right now. So it paid for it. So I'm now a mechanic. So city lawyer. But I said, since I love to talk and speaking, so I said a podcast to talk to people. But how was your journey into getting into public speaking?
Just as you said, I think for me, it just came naturally. It's just something that I love to do. I love to entertain. I love to talk. They'll tell you that if we are in a room, I'll always volunteer to be the MC. I'll always want to talk. I'm always talking. I'm very chatty. And so I think that kind of translated into me joining Zenith Orators, which is partnering with Tubayo to do the masterclass. And we are partnering with CYE as well and some other partners, some scripts. So my partner at Zenith Orators thought of this brilliant idea of doing a masterclass for public speaking because we have a lot of people that have places in which they're supposed to do doing public speaking, but they've not acquired the skill. And we figured that if we can share the skill, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing with the class, and we are hoping that we know that it's going to be beneficial to whoever attends. It's going to be amazing. It's this Wednesday, actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've seen that a few times when you shared it, and I really liked it because that's something I really liked. I wanted to be engaging in, like, debates and just anywhere you wanted to talk, so I'll go to talk. And you've been big on social media, and one of the person actually asked me, how did she grow her Twitter account, which is... How did she grow X account? Because now it's called X. How did you grow that? And how, like, somebody wanted to know how you grew your Twitter account.
Okay. I'm not even sure how many followers I have on Twitter right now, but I think it's in the 16K mark. I joined Twitter in, I don't know, maybe 2019 or 18, thereabout. And the reason I joined is because I was running for office at the Makerere Law School. I was running for vice president. And so some people on my campaign team are like, you need to, like, social media, at that point Twitter was getting big. So they're like, you need to get on Twitter. And we also campaign on Twitter. So I didn't join it for anything apart from that. Like, even looking back now, I'm like, how did this turn into this? Because I didn't join it for anything like that. So I joined Twitter for the campaign. The campaign got done. We finished that. And then I just kept posting. Like, I don't even know how it grew that much.
Yeah.
But I found that the first time I posted a picture of me at LDC, I think it was the first time we did a moot court training. And it was like a really huge achievement for me. I felt like, with God, we finally accomplished this. I posted and it went viral. So from like, I don't know, 5K, we went to like, I don't know how many followers. Then I posted something else sometime and it went viral. So I think for me, what happens when I experience like a very huge growth spot is when something I've posted goes viral.
Yeah.
And then also that thing on street preaching also kind of went viral.
I was coming to that. Actually, that's the next question. That was my next question. How did she feel after social media attack because of the preaching gospel on the streets in Kampala?
I personally didn't feel persecuted or attacked. You get? You feel attacked when you feel like you've done something wrong. I didn't feel like I'd done anything wrong. That's why I'd even taken a really long time to justify or to clarify the situation. If you notice, I issued a statement late in the night because the whole day I was just like, please, I'm not even going to justify this with an explanation. But what made me kind of feel agitated by the situation is because you have your friends are calling you, your parents are calling you, your relatives are calling you asking, did you quit your job? Did you quit your job? And I'm like, guys, no, I didn't quit my job. But I think for me, and moving forward, it's something I'm very, very vocal about, the fact that you can't separate your profession from who you are as a Christian. And that's something that I tell people. I can't say, oh, when I'm a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer. No, I'm a Christian lawyer. So if I decide to go to the streets and preach, that is who I am. Mm-hmm. And no one can make me ashamed about it.
Right.
And so for me, that was during that entire time. It was just that I'm doing what God sent me on this earth to do, deal with it. So, but of course, it was a bit nerve-wracking for my family, for my friends, to think that I'd quit my job and all this drama. And so it was a very interesting season, if I should say that.
I didn't know about the situation until somebody asked the question. I still don't know a lot of information about it, but what I've learned in life is people will always find something, no matter how good you are, no matter how nice you are. My podcast, I don't attack people. I've never attacked anybody. Even if I have something negative I wouldn't say negative. If I don't agree with something, I'm not going to bring it in a negative way. I'm going to say, I wouldn't do that. But if that's what the person decided to do, good for them. And I'll keep it at that. I won't go ahead and say, oh, this person is bad. Oh, this person. I don't do that. But people will always, even if when you run your life like that, people will always find something bad to say about you. Like one time, somebody messaged me and he's like, you say your podcast is a Ugandan boy talk show, but you're hosting, you're talking about conversation with people who are not from Uganda. So your podcast is irrelevant. And I'm like, I call my podcast the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. It doesn't say it's a Uganda podcast. It doesn't say like I'm going to be talking about Uganda conversation. The purpose of my podcast is to share stories with people. And that's it doesn't say I'm limiting myself to only Ugandan content or Ugandan stuff. But somebody just came with that negativity. And there's been a lot of other people. If some people from America who talk about, when I released some episode about working in America and living in America, and they were like, oh, you guys, you should have gone back into slavery or like stuff like that, you know? So you look at those things and you're like, people are always going to find something to talk about. So when you have that on the back of your head, now when I see that negative comments on I run my page, delete, move on, delete, move on. You bring negative energy, block, go out. I'm not chasing numbers. Like, I don't really care. So you bring the negative stuff on my page, I just let that go. So I just want to say, I think you got it, and do what you love, and you know you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for yourself. So if that's the back of your head, just keep doing what you're doing. So we're going to personal care, and I think I've seen a few. You talk about skin and that. So one person wants to know, what package do you use on your skin? Or what kind, I don't know. Or maybe they want to know what stuff you use for your skin. Or like what lotion or what, yeah.
So very recently I started doing skincare. I can't even call it influencing. I was just sharing. I have a friend who told me that at my big age, it was embarrassing that I didn't have a skincare routine. I will not call that friend out. But she's like, you should get into it. You know, everyone is doing it. You should get a skincare routine, a very basic one. And so she recommends something that has like a beginner's package all in one. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll try it out. So it's the Uncover skincare product line. And this is not an ad. It has a cleanser, a moisturizer, a toner, and a sunscreen. And then, yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
And it's not been long, so yeah, I don't know. Then just normal lotion, just any random lotion you find and you use. I find that people ask me that question because they want to. I don't know. I find that if they feel like there's some secret to keeping. There's really none, guys. Like, it's just shower and put visible, like just normal Vaseline, you'll be fine.
I get that question a lot, but I think for me, I understand why I get it, because I live in America and most people are not used to like our skin tone, and like, because most people, I don't know, but most people don't use like lotion in America. They don't, like, especially the white people. So I use lotion every day. I grew up doing that, and I have to. My skin needs lotion, so I put that on every day after shower. So I'm like, oh, your skin is smooth. Oh, your hands are smooth. What do you use? I'm like, like, lotion. Just go to the store and buy it. Like, I don't have any trick to it. I find that question funny. But I understand, because people don't. Now we're going to move we're still in the same personal care. But somebody asked, hey, Shivan, I would like to know any recommendations for a UTI infection.
A UTI? Guys, unfortunately, I am a lawyer. But if you have a UTI, please go to the hospital and get the medics to check you out and see what's happening. There's someone on, I think, TikTok. There's a Ugandan girl on TikTok who does medical like advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's really good with things like that. So if you are the kind that gets your medical information from TikTok, at least get it from a doctor.
Yeah.
Not just random people such as and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for UTIs and whatnot, please go to a hospital and get it treated there. Because I've had a lot of people get complications because they just randomly Google and then self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just one big mess. Please go to the hospital and check it out. And I know a lot of people don't want to go to hospitals to treat UTIs because they feel like it's embarrassing or whatnot. Like, it's just like going to the hospital if you have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Just go, tell them what's wrong, and they'll fix it. That's why they studied, and that's why they're there, to help you.
Yeah, that's definitely. And I can relate with that, because when I came to America, you had to go to the doctor. Like, you have to go visit the doctor at least every 6 months or something like that for like physicals and stuff. And I wasn't familiar with some of the stuff, and I wasn't, what's the word? Okuberanga, you're not content, it's not content, but like I was shy, or like I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to what the doctors make you go through, especially when you're doing your physicals. And I was like, nah. But at the same time, you need it to stay healthy. Like, we drive cars. If you don't take your car to oil change or service, it's going to break down. So
exactly.
That's the whole point of it. But if you can't go to the doctor, what's the number for police in Uganda? Yadi 112? 112? Is that what it is? I don't even remember.
Isn't it
911? 911 is the US one. It's America police.
I thought 911.
99. Was it 99?
Mm.
I think it's called 99 Patrol, but I think the number itself was 112. Back in the day when you want to call the police. I'll look it up. I'll make research, but I'll see.
Okay.
If before I edit this out, before I release this, I'll maybe put a number on the site to correct myself. But I'm pretty sure it was 112. But yeah, if you can't go to the hospital and you have a UTI, call 112-99 or 99-911. Maybe they'll save you. So there are people who ask about work environment, how you deal with work. And one person asked, which life experiences do you think has prepared you the most for your workplace? And I think Baby Chibuka is awake. So let me grab her real quick. I'm going to bring her here and then we can answer the question. Ooh, you ready to do a podcast with me? I'm love you, baby Chibuka.
Aww.
She's ready to do a podcast. Ah, daddy duties. This is a reason why you guys gave me the award. Go on. people need content, so we have to give content and to bagala content. But anyway, so we go to the work environment, and somebody asked, "What life experiences do you think has prepared you the most for your workplace?"
Okay, I think for me, it's that I started being engaged in what are called work environments very early on. When I had just joined campus, I joined what Makere has a kind of mobile law clinic. What that means is that they will allow people to volunteer, students to volunteer with them to work with communities. So you're basically lawyers helping the community, but under the supervision of your lecturers and other people who work at the law clinic. And so that, I think, was my first introduction into you have a supervisor, you have deadlines, you have people who have expectations of you to act professional. So having started that in around, I think, maybe second year, by the time I got into actual workplaces, I had a bit of experience.
Yeah.
And so I'm always telling people, volunteer as much as you can very early on in your life, because it gives you so much experience. Mm-hmm. It builds your tenacity. There are people who join the workspace and they are shocked at how it is. They are shocked that your workmates sometimes are not your friends or your supervisor is not your bestie. But if you do volunteering opportunities early on in your life, you learn how to handle work dynamics. You learn how to make sure you are professional at all times. So I think that was it for me. Volunteering early on in life helped me kind of understand how to now deal with work experience.
Yeah, I tell people a lot, and I think I was doing a podcast with somebody, and I was sharing about how I have some friends in Uganda who don't have a job, but they're just sitting at home, you know. It's because I don't have a job, but I was like, go volunteer somewhere. It puts you out there. First of all, you learn skills, and it puts you out in the world, because you might be volunteering, it might not be paid, or they might be just giving you transport and food and what, but it puts you out there for opportunities. And see, somebody might find you volunteering. It's like, oh, I like you, you're gonna come to work. So, but that's a good answer that you gave for the people. Well, this is a question relating to workplaces. When it gets tough and you feel abused and harassed, what do you do?
That's in a work environment.
Yeah, this is, I think the person said they are relating to a work environment.
Okay. So in Uganda, thankfully, I'm going to speak from a legal perspective, and then maybe later on I'll transition into
Montua Wansi.
So legally speaking, if you're at a workplace that has, I think, more than 10 people, you're supposed to have a sexual harassment policy. What that means is that when you are enrolled, when you're recruited into the workspace, they share with you that policy. They let you know who you're supposed to report to in case any of those things happen. And in the slightest event that you feel harassed, please reach out to the people that you're supposed to be. HR, your supervisor. If it's your supervisor, you can reach out to their supervisor. But there's always a way for you to reach out to someone to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't keep silent when you're being harassed, because a lot of people feel like, I can't do anything about it. These are my bosses. They're paying me. I'll lose my job. And I think that's the reason we keep having to deal with sexual harassment in the workplace, because mm-hmm. people keep talking about it. It takes just a few people for you to stand up to the big man and say, no, I'm being harassed, I'm going to report you. And those people will actually get punished for their actions.
Yeah.
So it's important for workplaces. Now this goes out to employers. Workplaces must have policies to protect their employees. But even for the employees, don't feel like they must keep quiet. Please sound out.
Yeah.
And now, from a Montua Wansi perspective, if you can't report to your supervisor or to whoever you're supposed to report to, you can always speak to someone that you're comfortable with at work, someone that can speak to that person and see if that can be figured out. In the worst case scenario, because I know there are people who feel like, I can't say anything, I can't keep here, there are people who choose to let go of that workspace for their mental health and for their general well-being. That's also an option. But I strongly advise that if you are in such a space, please speak up. It's against the law. It's punishable, very seriously punishable by the law. So you can speak up and the law will be on your side. Yeah.
That reminds
but
me.
Also, let me just say that usually when people report about harassment, lately people have become very sharp about it. So they will not physically harass you, but like they'll send you messages that are not okay for you to be getting from your boss. Eh?
Yeah.
It's very important for you to keep that evidence, because speaking as a lawyer, a lot of the time you want to handle a case, but there's no evidence to back it up. It's just his word against hers or her word against his. So it's very important to keep the screenshots, keep the receipts. If you have disappearing messages, you can turn them off on your end. Just make sure you have something to give to your lawyer.
Yeah. And I was going to say, that reminds me of the episode I recorded with Prim. And Prim was talking about, we were not talking about sexual harassment at work, but she kind of made a statement like, if I ever run stories on sexual harassment, you will see how people get embarrassed. Because she does this thing on her Instagram where her audience, she puts up a question, her audience like share stories. And I've recorded a few episodes from the responses people have given out. And even one of hers that she did was responses from people that gave out. But I feel like there's a lot of cases of sexual harassment. And what you mentioned, that most of those people, they're scared to lose their job. They're scared to lose, but which is a privilege. Like, I know you mentioned, like, you're going to speak from a Uganda perspective, but the U.S. perspective, our HRs are on point. Like, racism, somebody messes with you, like, they say something about you of race, those people will get fired right away, like, without even asking no questions. There's a Michigan State University, they're coach of a football team, and this is the news, it's not like I'm speculating, somebody can look it up, but he like did like a phone sex or texting some girl, and the girl reported him, the guy was fired right away. No matter how good you are, like if you're, even if you're like the best coach in what, those are not taken lightly. But hopefully that's how it is, but I see where people in Uganda would hide it, because they don't want to lose their job. They don't see, and jobs are hard to find. But like here, if you get fired, you can get, like, they have something called unemployment where they'll pay you as you looking for another job, which we're not privileged to have in Uganda. So maybe some people are scared of that. But sometimes money isn't everything. It's hard for me to tell people, because they know, oh, you're more America, you have this. But money isn't everything. No matter where you are, your mental health will cost you a lot than the money you'll ever get. Sometimes you don't know, and in the long run, it's affecting you. So sometimes you have to look at it and see, is this something good for me? Look at all the things that might come in the future and just say, you know, I need to address this. I need to leave this place, find somewhere else, and just do that. Anyway, another question I have for you is, what principles do you live by? I know earlier you mentioned about you live by, you have some principles why you're not getting married right now. Even if all your friends are getting married, you have your things you've laid aside for that. But like, what are the principles you have for life? I think this person was just in general, like, what are your principles you live by?
For me, it's really just being one, a faithful steward. What that means is that I look at life in the sense that God has given us different opportunities. And everything that God has given us is for us to steward, which means to hold and keep well and until whenever he returns. So for me, I think the first thing is to be faithful in everything that I'm doing. If it's at my work, I'm giving it 110%. If it's at being a big sister, I'm giving it 110%. If it's being a friend, I will give it everything. So for me, the biggest principle I live by is being faithful to everything that I do, which a lot of people also maybe say, call it being diligent or anything like that. But yeah, being a faithful steward with what God has given me. Apart from that, integrity, just making sure that I'm true to myself and true to the principles that I am so often preaching about. If you find me on my Instagram stories, I'm probably one time or two times preaching about something. It would be rather a shame if I'm not living by it. So yeah. Integrity is so, yeah, and really just I've decided to look at the Bible as a manual for living for me, and so everything that it says that I am and everything that it says I should do, I try as much as I can to be what it is saying I should be.
Okay, we're going into the faith, and you've talked about what you live by, and you talked about God, how God is in your life, and that's why I brought this last, because I'm a Christian. My dad actually is a pastor in Uganda, in Wakiso, and I remind people, I didn't label my podcast a Christian podcast, but every time I get an opportunity to talk about God, I'm not going to shy away from it. Yes, it's not like... But the Ugandan boy talk show, church, over chapel, over bichi. Like, I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and I don't shy away from saying that no matter what. And every time I have somebody on the podcast, if people go back and listen to all my podcasts, when I know somebody, I've had people who are not Christians on the podcast who are Muslims. And if our conversation leads to that, I'm going to talk about God and talk about where I stand with it. And I will not attack anybody, but when I get an opportunity to talk about God, I love that, because I know somebody might be tuning into this podcast today to just listen, and then we talk about God, and what we talk about is what touches their heart, and they'll forget everything else we've talked about, but they'll remember the part of talking about God. But we have a few questions from your faith and your journey and all that. One person asks, what department do you serve in at Fenero?
Oh, okay. The audience clearly wants to get to know me. So what department do I serve in? Right now, what do I say? I am taking what they call discipleship classes. What that means is that before you get into full-time service at church, you are being prepared. So you're taught the principles, the fundamentals on serving, on the Christian faith and things like that before you get into a department. So the kind of service I'm doing right now is not departmental service. It's just general until I finish my discipleship classes. Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who go to Fenero. Unfortunately, when I left Uganda, it wasn't yet like, I mean, I think it was there. I just like didn't know about it at the time, but it was until I left. And then I have a lot of friends who go there. So, in the same line, talk about your values. People want to know your values. So, you talk about your values for marriage or whatever, your principles. You talk about your principles as a person. Now, people want to talk about your values in Christian dating and boundaries. they don't put them with cancer.
Okay. Values in Christian dating. Okay.
And boundaries.
Broad. It's very broad. It's a very broad question. Boundaries. Okay. So, I'll start with a very basic, I think everyone says this, date a fellow Christian. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that it's obvious, but you deal with people who are having issues in their relationships because they are dating people who don't subscribe to the same faith as they do. So for me, that's point number one. My values, you have to be submitted to the same God that I'm submitted to, and you have to believe in the same things that I believe in. Second, boundaries, especially in terms of intimacy, I will not be having sex before I'm married. So that's something that me and my partner decided on immediately we started dating. So, and I know it's a tricky thing lately because people are like, oh, what? But it is what it is. It's black and white. That's just something I can't have a discussion on. apart from that, just making sure that all of you have check-ins to make sure that you are still walking in the faith. What I mean is that people usually have this assumption of if you're growing in faith, even your partner is growing in faith. And usually that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So for me, a relationship is a partnership. If you're growing, I should be growing. If I'm growing, you should be growing. So we should be holding each other's hand, even in the faith. We may be building businesses and doing all these things, but in praying and whatnot, we should also be growing. So we need to keep each other accountable in that regard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, those are basics.
No, I think that's it, and it's pretty simple. I'll say simple. It's simple to know what the values are going to be, because even the Bible itself tells you everything about it. Like when you read the Bible, it tells you what you can do and what you can't do. So that you go there first. After you go there first, then people will add on to that. But make sure you read your Bible and you answer all your questions.
Always.
Yeah. I like that you share that devotional thing every morning. I read it. You know, if you're doubting that people read that, I do read it. So at least so many but I really do. I like that. And I think Imelda also said a podcast where she does like a 6-minute devotion where she walks through the Bible. She also does something on her Instagram, Bible quizzes, trivia. I like those. I like answering them. I grew up my mom used to teach me in my Sunday school, and we used to watch Jesus film every day. And film, yeah, yes, I memorized that film. At one point, I knew the next line. I knew line by line, word for word. And then it helped me pass CRE Kusomero. Like, that's where some knowledge came. But we also read the Bible and some of. All right, the final question from the questions that people asked you. Have you ever dealt with an addiction? And what and how did you overcome it?
I've not dealt with addictions, thankfully. Just as you said, I've grown up in a very Christian household. So I got born again very early in my life. A lot of the times my friends make fun of me and they're like, "Hey, for you, your life is the anomaly. Like, you've not dealt with the issues that a lot of people have had to deal with in life because I got saved very early." So I've not dealt with addiction, but I have friends that have dealt with addiction and I've seen how they have gotten through it. A lot of it has just been patience. And a lot of the time when people have or are dealing with addiction, they feel like, "I just want this to end now." And so if they have like a space where the addiction is as if being overcome, then it comes back, they're like, "Yee, I thought it was done." So I think one of the first things is to be patient with yourself and not put yourself on so much pressure and feel like, "Oh, it's not working." Be patient with yourself and give yourself to the word of God. Mm-hmm. Friends, I'm not going to lie. I don't think there is any, I know there is nothing the word of God can't fix. Mm-hmm. Give yourself to the word, read it, apply it to your life. It will work. But also find people that can help you, professionals. If it's like an alcohol addiction, there's no problem going to rehab. There's no shame in it. It helps. There are people who have studied to help you get over these things. If you can consult maybe elders in church or pastors, I know at my church, you can always go to the pastors if you're dealing with something, or if the people in church, the elders in church, and they will help you. I think that the biggest challenge with people trying to deal with addictions is trying to deal with it on your own. Because then you can't get over it. Uh-huh. And the problem is that when you keep quiet, the voices in your head keep telling you, this is something we can get over. But really, that's a lie. You need someone to hold your hand or people to hold your hand and take you through it. So the first step is to admit that you're having a challenge and let people help you accept help. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. It may not go away overnight. But if you give yourself to the process, it will work. Yeah.
That is true.
Pray about it, mm-hmm. and it will go.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I was going to add on. Like, when you say the Bible will fix all the problems you have, and if you can't find it, you can always talk to God. I like when I pray, I don't say like I'm having a formal prayer. I was like, "God, cut on the rush, you know, why is this?" Like, ask him questions. I asked him questions. It'd be like I'm communicating to him. Like, I'm telling him, like, "Can you please take this away? Or why can't I sleep? Or can you please do this? I just tell him my request. It's not like I have to, make a formal prayer. Or this is how I'm supposed to pray. I just talk to him. And sometimes in life, it might not come straightforward to you, but then God will work his thing out, and then you will see it. Oh, you know, this is what he's trying to show me, or this is where he was leading me. I have this belief in me that if God doesn't want something for me, he's not going to make it happen. Like, he will try to avoid that. And if I don't get it, God didn't want me to get it. If I get it, God wanted me to get it. So that's the perspective I have. And if I want it, I'll tell God I want it. And if he wants me to have it, I'll have it. And if I don't, it is what it is. But also, another follow-up question. I'm not trying to keep you here for so long. You mentioned you grew up Christian. Okay. I grew up as a young Christian. And people have this belief like, oh, you're a pastor's son, so you just grew up Christian. But I had to make the decision for myself at some point in life, not because my dad was a pastor, not because I grew up going to church, but I had to make my personal decision to know why I believe what I believe. Because it's not like I'm going to say, oh, tumunange twakwa tulibalokole. Omutokuza wai wachori mulokole. Twakwa tulibalokole. No. But doing my own research and reading and knowing, I had to make the personal decision. And I dealt with stealing. For the most part, sagala kore za kubaku wange. But for the most part, we were poor. And we didn't have like 3 meals a day. So as little kids, we would go to the local shops, and one distracts the shopkeeper. We wanted things to do. But that's something I prayed to God about and told him I didn't want to do it. I mean, at the time I did because I wanted it. That's the norm. But then after that, I was like, you know what? I need to stop this behavior. I need to stop this. And that's something that changed my heart. Today, I don't steal. Since that day, actually, stealing became something I hate the most. And even when I see somebody stealing, I make an alarm. I tell somebody, hey, leave it or don't do this. So I hated it. But for you, growing up in a Christian home, what was that moment for you that made you realize I need to give my life to Christ?
Thank you very much for asking that question. And I think it's something that a lot of people, I think, overlook the fact that, and I feel, well, it's mostly for Africans, but I also, maybe generally, people always say, oh, I have a praying mother. You know those book quotes that people post on their statuses? Mm-hmm. I'm standing between the prayers of my mother, friends. we are glad that your mother is praying for you, but like, mm-hmm. where are your own prayers?
Yeah.
I got born again I gave my life to Christ and I accepted salvation in Form 1. I think that's the first time I can remember honestly saying, this is my decision. It's not because daddy told me to go to church. Pastor, a reverend came and preached at school, and after preaching, he said, if you want to give your life to Christ, come to the stage, put up your hand. And I remember during that time, you know, when you've just joined high school,
yeah.
You feel, wow, you're timid. So when they tell you, come to the front of the stage, raise your hand, say you want to accept God, you're like, hey, Jesus, why the drama?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember doing it, and from that day, I've not looked back. So yeah. For me, that was the time I gave my life to Christ,
mm-hmm.
even after all these years of knowing God. And I think it's very important for you to get out of that bubble of, oh, my mother prays for me, oh, my father prays for me, mm-hmm. we live and grown up in a Christian home, to get to the point where you accept God as your personal Lord and Savior. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that he is your Lord, not your mother's Lord, not mm-hmm. your father's Lord, your Lord and Savior, he will save you. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. And I think you would relate mostly to this because we've seen very many instances where people, children are born, pastors' children, reverends' children, but then somehow along the way, you look at their lives and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, you're a pastor's child. Are you like this? And I think it comes from that place of them never understanding that you have to understand God for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and no one can do that. So it's very, very important to all come to that point. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell people okusula mu garage tekikufuula motoka. That's
a sharp one. That's a very look at it.
Yeah, you have to make that decision for yourself. I've come to the end of this recording, but I have three questions that I ask every guest. I know I'm not yet done. Ogamba kati gayana. What's a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
Life lesson I've learned. Before you go on a journey, make sure you have peed. I tell that everyone. It's very weird, but guys, you do not want to be uncomfortable when you're having a long journey and you've not used the restroom. And then you're inconveniencing everyone and it's just strange.
Yeah.
So make sure you have sorted yourself before you go on any journey. It's a life lesson.
That, and I would add, I usually don't add a lot of stuff on this because this is the last bit. People just give their one-line answer. But it's good because I remember when I was like 8 years old, my mom is Kenyan and would make those trips to go to Kenya every year. You sit in those buses, the Kampala coach, you want to use the restroom and those drivers don't want to stop. I'm not going to finish that story, but yeah, I had to deal, with it. But yeah, so take that lesson.
Yeah, the life lesson as well.
Yeah, I learned the hard way, so... But just remember that. What gets you excited about life?
The potential. Okay. The potential that God has put in. The fact that I know, you know how the Bible says that I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, etc.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Whenever I read the Bible and see how much God is going to do by me, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
You know when he says things like, ask for nations and I'll give them to you, you're like, hey, guy, you're serious. Like, those are the things that make me excited about life. The possibility of everything that I'm going to do by God.
Yeah. That's amazing. That gets me excited about life, too. Like, to see where you're going to go next, what's yet to come. Like, even we're talking about this podcast at the beginning, like, I never envisioned to be here. I never envisioned to talk to you. I never thought about having this many guests, like scheduling all these guests. Like, I have scheduled guests till like November. Like, you know, like, I never thought about that. But to see what is happening and see, man, I can't wait to see where this podcast is going to be the next year. So it gets me excited. The final question. This is a signature question on the podcast. Who would you like to see on this podcast next as a guest? And you're going to help me connect me to that person to be my next guest.
Who? Interesting question. Quite a number of people that I would like to see. Let me see. Have you had Ella?
No, I don't think Ella. So.
I think her story is a story I'd like to hear about.
Okay. I like that. I like the way you said it because that's the goal. That's my goal for that question. And I'll try to make people understand this because when people recommend another person, it's, I want to hear this person's story. I want to hear this person's journey. And that is the goal right there of the reason why I ask those questions. And there's been a few times where a friend recommends another friend. I was like, I didn't know that about this guy. Like, they messaged me back after listening to their stories. Like, I didn't know because there's one guy, Mr. Musinguzi. He worked in MTN as like a MTN customer service before he's doing like content creating now, like with pictures and videos. But when he was on the podcast, he told me that story, how he worked at MTN. He was the guy. He said, but where were they kubira MTN? Customer was for Mulungi. Yeah. And I had him say that one again, and it's perfect. Like, that's how they used to say it. Customer from Lundi. I was just laughing, but his friend was like, I never knew this guy was that guy. But that's the best part. That's what I like about this thing and love the podcast. So once again, Shivan, I'm excited that we're able to do this. I was thinking about that the other day. We scheduled this in August when I contacted you. And we've done it in October. But it's always God's timing. So maybe God wanted us to have it at this time. It was going to be the best time. So, and then I'm going to have my child in the video for the first time. So
excited.
Yeah, so thank you very much, and let's stay connected.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. I love your podcast. I enjoy your podcast. I look forward to the sessions to come.
Thank you very much. All right. Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much, and be blessed.